Up With Trees. How did that get started?
There was a group, I think it formed when Joe Coleman was street commissioner, of people trying to decide how to beautify the expressways. There was some anti-feeling about the highways because they were ugly. Some of us had had the good fortune to see the Merritt Parkway in Connecticut and the Thruways in New York and the Parkways in California, and we thought, well, by golly, we could do it here. We had a group kind of studying how to do this. I remember they even drew up some very attractive sketches of how to do the proposed riverside improvement. It was just kind of a study group. And then one day late in my term, I got a call. You get a lot of unfavorable calls when you start cutting down trees here. We were widening some of these old streets out on 51st Street, just the other side of Skelly Bypass. There had been a beautiful farm there where a fellow had planted trees on almost 5 feet off the edge of an old oil dirt county road, and we were making it four lanes. And we had to cut down these probably 75 to 100-year-old oak trees. There wasn't anybody getting up in the trees like I've seen sometimes, but a lot of complaint calls. And I get one about 4:30 in the afternoon, and I was about tired of getting complaint calls. And this one fellow, young fellow, called. I kind of said, oh, well, this must be another complaint call. And he says, no, I'm asking you, what's the city doing about replacing those trees? And I had to admit that the city had no program to even plant trees. And this committee had been active for a year or two trying to get something started. We went to the mayor, Bob LaFortune, said the city's got to start planting some trees where we're taking down these trees. And he said, well, Sid, you're on the city commission, and you know the city's financial condition as well as anybody. This was before the sales tax income had started coming in. We didn't have enough money to fill the potholes. Bob says, go out and see what you can do in a private way. The city will help you all it can, but don't expect money. I understood. We started, we got $50, we'd go out and plant a tree. And then I met a young fellow, he was a landscape architect. In fact, I had known him over at OSU. He said, how's Up With Trees going? I'd like to help. I said, you would? I said, boy, we need your help. The city had just rebuilt the 21st Street Bridge, which crosses the Arkansas. Harold Miller, the city engineer, says there's a little land down there. We ought to plant some trees if you'll come up with a plan. But I got to see a plan. This fellow's name was Randy Heckenkamper. He and a group have formed a landscape firm that does primarily golf courses called Planning Design Group. We had asked the park department to give us a plan. Delay, 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 and 6 months later, the city engineer says, you better get something done or this money's going to disappear. Randy had us a plan in 2 weeks' time. The city loved it. They wanted to pay him. He said, no, this is my civic contribution. And they've done most of our plans since. Some of them are generic plans. It's the same plan for one intersection as another intersection. So we went to the public. Tulsa Rotary Club wanted to plant some trees, beautify the entrance to the city at the airport. They gave us $3,000, and I figured it's 30 trees. Another young fellow called me, a fellow who worked for Southwood Nursery, and I had known him in the past, both as a construction engineer and as a landscape person.
Is that Joe Schulte?
Schulte's company. It was Chris Ferris down there. He said, Joe likes what you're doing, and he said, I should volunteer and help you. You know, he could show us how to plant trees. I said, well, yeah, you can come out and help us plant trees. He said, well, I'll do that too, but what I had in mind is I buy the trees for Southwood. He goes out to different tree farms and identifies and locates the trees. He says, we could buy those for Up With Trees at our cost. Instead of 30 trees, we planted 60 trees because we were getting them at their cost. And we've been getting them at various nurseries that way ever since, through Southwood and through Jerry Wendland at Wendland Nursery. Let me tell you about this deal. Southwood is a great nursery, and they've got beautiful merchandise. But they don't grow anything except maybe the pansies. So these trees are shipped in from somewhere. And at that time, we were going to the tree farms, and it would take us 2 or 3 days to pick up the trees just to have the trees to plant Saturday. We found Wendland Nursery, who was a local grower, that we were bringing in, say, pine trees from Oregon. He had the same pine trees growing here in Tulsa. And they're better because they're acclimated. We can tell him what we want, and he'll deliver them to the hole on the planting day. We were spending more days gathering trees from over in eastern Oklahoma or up north of town than we were planting trees. So he has supplied a lot of the trees. They're locally grown, and he delivers them right to the project the day you want them.
Let's go back to that young man who called you. His name?
Elliot Howe.
And how old was he?
He was a high school student, 17.
17 years old.
And he just loved trees. He became a volunteer, unusual fella. He later on became a doctor, but he knew more about trees than anybody in town. And he was going out and obtaining trees and planting them himself. He planted some over there at the Education Service Center because they needed some trees over there. He got their permission. And
is he still living today?
He's still living today, and I'm not sure where. He at one time was in Atlanta.
How did you come up with the name Up With Trees?
When I was street commissioner, we had an intern. He came up with a name so long, and we can't remember. It was something environmental, this, that, and about five words. Phyllis Edmonds, vice president of Sooner Federal, was quite a PR person. Said, you got to have a snappier name than that. How about Up With Trees? And that became her name. Phyllis Edmonds, you probably remember her. She invented, when Sooner Federal came up with a $1 million piggy bank. She was a great gal. She was one of our presidents of Up With Trees later on. Quite a dynamo.
What year was it formed?
We incorporated in 75, so it was prior to that time, probably 74.
That you got the phone call?
Yeah, I was still in office when I got the phone call, and I served till 76. We were using that other funny name. I can't say enough about Phyllis Edmonds. She was quite a PR person. She kept a scrapbook. She had all the clippings. She was always promoting, and her thing was she didn't want the credit. She wanted the president to get it or an individual to get it. She did a lot in developing leadership within Up With Trees.
As you know, whatever project there's always opposition. Weren't there those who said, you can't plant trees in Oklahoma?
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah, early on, you can plant trees in Oklahoma and expect them to survive these hot, dry summers. The challenge became planting trees that were drought-resistant and disease-hardy, or the other way around, I guess. We noticed that cities that had hotter temperatures and longer droughts than Tulsa did were planting trees. Phoenix, Arizona, Sacramento, California, they had great tree programs. Sacramento's in the desert side of California, and they've got a great tree program out there. And the difference is water. When they do a highway construction project in Arizona, at least in the Phoenix area, they have put water lines or water taps along with the highway, which is like 0.001% of the cost of the construction project. When they did the widening and beautification of Yale next to Fortune Park, the city did put water in those medians. And then on 71st Street, they have water in the medians. Early on, we didn't have water trucks. One of the fellows had a pickup truck with a couple of barrels in it and a bucket. And we watered the trees out at the airport out of a pickup truck. One of the things we should mention about Up With Trees, our program's different than other cities. Tom Crewson was the municipal judge back in the 70s. And about the time we got our planning program underway, he came to me and said, I'm starting a program where the misdemeanants have got to do community service. Said, up to now, we've just been charging them a fine. Says, I want them to make a contribution to the city. And I think this is a lot different than, say, the policeman requiring something. You know, a nonprofit doing it is a lot different. We wouldn't be where we are today if it hadn't been for the manpower of these misdemeanants. And I didn't know what a misdemeanant was. I said, what are they, bank robbers? Are they murderers? What are they? I knew they'd come through the jail. He says, no, these are minor infractions. He explained they were young fellows, usually speeding tickets or not wearing a helmet. He says, you'll know some of the kids or you'll know their parents. And sure enough, I've had some. Later on, it developed, I think we get even more adult people with misdemeanors. I think they get a smaller fine.
Either no fine or reduced fine.
Yeah. We've had some really talented people, and some of them become volunteers. One thing I'd say about them, particularly the young fellows, they're proud of what they're doing. They're not resentful. It's not like they were forced to do something because they got caught. They say, well, I want to bring my girlfriend or I want to show my mother what I've done out here. So they take kind of an ownership in what they do.
Did that program come to an end?
No, it's still going.
Oh, it's still going?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Here in 2009.
We've got two things we're doing now. At one time, it was strictly misdemeanors, then occasionally a Boy Scout troop or a school group. We have one fellow who's been with us almost 10 years, college graduate, worked in the Peace Corps. Name is Scott Parent. He supervises the planting of the trees, and he gives the misdemeanants a training course before they are allowed to plant a tree, and he's there making sure the holes are dug properly and that sort of thing. This year, with this Re-Green program, we have another supervisor who's not using misdemeanants. He's using volunteers, school groups, neighborhood groups, church groups. On the Re-Green program, which Mayor Kathy Taylor has really been the spearhead of, it's a different crew and a different projects.
And that all came about because of the ice storm we had.
Thank God for the ice storm in a way, yeah. No, I shouldn't say that. We were lucky in that our trees are younger, and I think we picked varieties that are stronger. We're planting a pear tree. A lot of people are down on the Bradford pear because it's a weak tree. It was the first flowering pear tree that was on the market. And I remember on 15th Street north of the fairgrounds, years ago, the park department planted Bradford pear. They grow out real wide, and they were pruned by the trucks and the buses going by in the ice and the wind. And they finally took them out. But there are improved varieties of the pear that Cleveland Select is a variety that the city planted on South Yale. And they're upright, they're strong, they're beautiful in the flowering season, and they're pretty red leaves in the fall, shiny green leaves in the summer. They're an ideal tree.
What other variety did you plant?
Several varieties. We plant oaks. The pin oak is a variety we don't plant because it has the drooping branches. But there's an upright variety called Nuttall or Schumard. There's a new variety, fairly new to the market, Lace Bark Elms. It's a lot different than the American elm or the Chinese elm. It's a strong, strong tree, and it's drought hardy. The two trees that they recommend are Pistache and the Lace Bark Elm as being the hardiest trees. And there are some varieties of oak that are very good. On Riverside Drive, and again across the street on Yale Avenue from La Fortune Park, there are the Cleveland Select pear. There's other names for it. We alternated four ash, four pears, four ash, four pears. And then we got down further south. We introduced the Pistache tree as one of the four. They're opposite the casino and down towards 96. After the ice storm, I only saw one branch broken. So that says something.
They were younger and
hardier. They were younger and hardier.
Mm-hmm. You're a founder of Up With Trees.
I'd say one of the founders, or probably the one that's been with it the longest. One of the persons that spurred us on was Aline Rhodes Carter. Aline Rhodes Carter was also interested in planting wildflowers on the highways, and she went down and got some good information on wildflowers from Lady Bird Johnson. And there was a couple of ladies, and I mentioned Phyllis Edmonds. When they were trying to get wildflower seeds, they were actually out with hand-push lawnmowers mowing these seed pods off of the wildflowers. That was their only source of seeds until Lady Bird and some other people got some people into producing the seeds, the wildflower seeds. You can now buy them, but they're very expensive, and they don't work too well where there's heavy grass. The seeds have got to get down and into the soil. The highway department has bought two seed planters that they use all over the state. that kind of scratches the soil and distributes the seed. And then there's a boom that comes behind that covers up the seeds all in one operation.
Hmm. You give credit to these others, your founders, but you're the one who stayed with the program.
Very definitely.
And become most associated with it. You stayed with it because it was a good thing to do? It was a good time of your life to do that?
That, and early on, these women kept pushing me in a nice way. You know, it's hard to imagine now, but these women are probably in their 50s out there with a shovel, helping in a token way, I think, on planting.
Here we are in 2009, and Up With Trees started in 74. Any estimate how many trees you might have been planted by now?
Well over 20,000. Over 1,000 just this year already. Well over 1,000.
I would imagine early on trees did die from lack of water.
This Chris Ferris that I mentioned earlier, who was instrumental early on in the techniques and so forth, he told us one time that our survival rate is much higher than what the nurseries have because we're taking care of them. The nursery plants a tree in your yard or somebody's yard. It's dependent upon the person taking care of it, and about half of the people plant it and don't, or they overdo it, overwater it. Anyway, our survival rate early on was about 99%.
It'd be hard to imagine Tulsa without Up With Trees.
It sure made a difference. I'm amazed and I'm pleased. As you go down some of the highways where we've planted trees, and the trees have been there 10 or 15 or 20 years, driving down 75 through West Tulsa next to the rail yards, that was a rotary tree planting where they planted one tree for every member. They had 130 members come out and participate in, I think, four different weekends planting 420 trees. Half of them are on 75 north of downtown, and the other half are on 75 out there opposite Goodwill Industries and opposite the Burlington Northern train yards.
Then there were those who would have fun with Up With Trees, and they'd say, how does this happen? You build Up With Trees signs made out of wood. What was your answer to that?
There are four or five good reasons why we make them out of wood. It's a renewable resource. The option would be steel or plastic. David Averill came up with a story on this years ago.
In Tulsa World editor.
A third reason was at that time the lumber was free. Mill Creek Lumber Company, James Dunn, loved Up With Trees, and we were using redwood early on and had a sign company make them. He said that redwood is expensive and it doesn't last. Said, you ought to be making these signs out of treated yellow pine. Said, a fence post, a treated yellow pine will last 40 years because it's treated. Those signs are routed. We've had some great woodworkers that have volunteered. One of the great volunteers we had made templates of all the letters, different sizes, and you lay these templates out around the router. Early on, we didn't have this system. It was a fellow with Amoco that would print these out on the computer. And then you'd take a center punch and you'd punch little holes to get the outline of a letter, and then you'd hand do it. This fellow came along and said, you need these templates. I'll make them. The first signs we put out were out on the highways, and you're going 60 miles an hour. That's another story. Each one of these signs was different. A fellow came to me who said, you ought to standardize, and he was a woodworker. He was the project manager for an air conditioning company. Woodworking was his hobby. He had to standardize the Up With Trees all the same every time. You're driving down the highway 60 to 70, 80 miles an hour. These are going to be readable. So the signs were bigger. Then we had that standard sign, and we put it on Riverside Drive, where people are driving slower. The space is more limited. And we found out that big sign, well, it wasn't in tune. So we're making a smaller sign now for Riverside Drive. And another person came along and said, you need to stain that wood. And if you'll notice, the newer signs are stained, and it's also a preservative. It makes the sign last longer.
Can you think of any other names, company names, or anybody else?
I was going to mention two fellows. The fellow named Norm Osbernson, who's principal owner of the Aon Company, maker of rooftop air conditioning equipment and heaters. He is a Rotarian and participated in the first Rotary planting. He was working away showing people how to plant trees, and he said, "When this is over, I want to show you where I'd like to see you plant some trees." Turns out that his younger years, he worked on a tree farm. He's now, of course, an engineer, a great engineer, and running the Aon company. He has sponsored a tree site every year since 1990, and he has come out and helped plant early on. Then he said, "Well, I've got to quit. My company's working overtime where I need to be there Saturdays." Then there was Jack Maxwell. Jack had a personnel company called Staffmark. He would always come up with a great location, and I think he was a sponsor for every year for 10 years. He wanted to be in all parts of the city. You know, he'd pick out a site over in 169. He's retired, and so he's not sponsoring now, but he's still interested. He lives down in Bixby, and I think we've done some signs down there.
There must have been a time when the concept of a sign being sponsored by someone, which encouraged people to give because they like to see family names or whatever.
I'm glad you mentioned that. The Rotary Club did this project. Randy Heckenkamper said, "You ought to plant spectaculars before the signs." He suggested the sign and the sponsor's name, and he called it a spectacular. So we planted this Rotary site at the airport. We didn't have an office, a phone number, or anything at that time. People started calling the Rotary Club and said, "How do you get to do that?" The fellow had a site picked out, and it was, of course, near his business or near the part of town he frequented. So early on, the sign was our marketing. And still is. People want a sign in a certain area. Businesses out by 51st and Broken Arrow, or where they live. Mm-hmm. You know, one couple, this is where we turn off when we go home.
Mm-hmm.
We still get those requests. Somebody, he's a banker, and he has an interest in TU. He wanted a sign where you turn off there to go to Utica if you're going to a football game or basketball game. We've had some really good requests. Some of them have been personal. You know, it's not always companies.
Oh, it's in memory of family members?
Right.
That certainly has helped sustain, but then above and beyond that, there have been major contributions financially.
It had to be. One of our problems was maintaining the site. There's a lot of effort goes into weed eating or cleaning up the area, watering or mulching. After a while, we found that the one-time payment didn't sustain the maintenance. So we're now requiring or asking an annual maintenance fee. And if they don't want to continue maintaining the sign, then we'll turn the site over to somebody else and start again.